So we continue our journey in the prophets today. And today the question is, how do we get to hear the voice of the prophets for us in our time? Now, just as it's common to assume that prophets predict the future, and if you missed it last week, the deal is prophets are not so much invested in predicting specific future events as much as they are interpreting their time and our time with a special message from God. The prophets spoke with timeless truths that challenge the way that we continue to confuse our will and our desires for God's will. Now, we know that when it comes to God and faith stuff, a lot of times we like to think that God is going to work in ways that we expect. One of the ways that happened for God's people a long time ago was that they assumed God's promise was always going to have something to do with land, with Israel, Jerusalem, and the temple. That was God's promise to them way back in Genesis. I'll make you a great and mighty nation, more descendants than are stars in the sky and grains of sand on the seashore, right? Yeah, okay. Our confirmation students know that. Okay. It all came true for them in terms of land. And then they were defeated by the Babylonians and spread out in small groups all over the Babylonian Empire. And they desperately wanted God's promise to come true again. This was the time, by the way, when the hope of a Messiah was born. They were looking for a new leader who would rally the troops and bring them together and restore Israel to its former glory. They assumed that because God's promise came true to them in the past, in terms of land, that if it's going to come true today, it also means land again. So they thought, when God's promise comes true, we'll have a country, a capital, a temple, and a king. They were sure they knew what God was going to do and how God was going to do it. Their Messiah, their promised one, their leader, they thought was going to be a new King David. Remember him? He's the guy that slayed Goliath, a giant, when he was a kid. As a kid, he slays Goliath with a sling and a stone. David's the one who raised up armies to defend Israel from his neighbors and created this powerful nation of Israel. And they were hoping for another one of those, and then Jesus came, preaching forgiveness and love, caring for the weak and the poor and the forgotten. He talked about a kingdom, oh, to be sure. And Jesus said, "My kingdom is not of this world." Jesus did not fit their assumption for the way God was going to work. No armies, no revolution, no country, no capital. He didn't fit their expectations. So for many of them, Jesus was a disappointment. They couldn't see it. If we think we already know what God is going to do, we might miss the way God works. If we think we know what God is going to say, we may not be able to hear it. See, the second we think we have God's will figured out, God says, "Listen again. Listen again." Now, the prophets kept challenging the way God's people live and practice their faith. Now, in many cases, it may never have even occurred to them that they were not doing God's will. They listened to themselves. They were sure they knew what God wanted them to do. They kept going after other gods. They worshiped money as a god. They worshiped their own power as a god. They kept being unfaithful. So the short little prophet Hosea speaks very strong words about being unfaithful to God. In the prophet Isaiah, God tells Hosea to marry the town prostitute named Gomer. Surprise, surprise, surprise. Oh, you're old enough to remember that. Okay, good. Now, Hosea said, "I don't want to marry her. She's a town prostitute." And God said, "I know she is. Marry her anyway." So he did. And lo and behold, she kept running away and coming back pregnant by somebody else. And then she'd say, "Oh, I'm sorry. I promise I'll never do it again. Can you forgive me? Will you take me back?" This happens four times. And finally, Hosea says to God, "I am sick of this. How often do I have to forgive her and take her back?" And God said, sound familiar? Sound kind of like my people who keep running away and getting in trouble? Now, Hosea was written a long time ago for different people, but that doesn't mean Hosea doesn't speak to us. Hosea can lead us to wonder how we have been unfaithful to God, how we have gone off after other gods, selling ourselves and our souls for money, or how, like Gomer, we usually don't even think of going back or asking for forgiveness until we're in trouble or until we're caught. Then there's Amos. Amos talks about, he rails at the priests. He says, your carefully planned worship services in the temple with your songs and your cymbals and the dancers. God says, I don't want to hear it. It hurts my ears. And those offerings you burn. You think that smells good to me? He says, it stinks in my nose. And let me tell you why. If you want to worship me, real worship is to make justice flow like a never-ending stream. See, Amos was speaking to religious leaders and kings, but they can easily apply to our times too, challenging our priorities. The priests in Amos's time, they were all concerned about correct worship. Some people, and while they were doing that, there were people who were literally starving to death. Widows and orphans had no one to care for them. So in those days, without Social Security or any social welfare system, if you were a widow or orphan, that meant you would die if no one took care of you. So there they were, all focused on worshiping correctly while people were literally dying. Judges were being bought off. They were soaking up money out of the poor who had nobody to fight for them. So one of the ways this may apply to us is to challenge the ways that we might be tempted to, I don't know, do all the right things in worship. That we might be tempted to believe the list of all the right things and maybe even worry about whether we've done too many things wrong, whether we've been forgiven for breaking different rules, but not lifting a finger or giving a dime to help the poor or to feed the hungry or assist those who are forgotten. Amos might apply to us. If we use that list of excuses for not being generous, oh, we've heard them. We've all heard them, right? One of them is, why should we help people who are far away when there's so many people right here at home who need help? Heard that? Pastors do a lot. Okay? And by the way, people who say that usually don't help any of them. Okay? Well, the truth is, we do that, right? We do support Sussex Outreach Service locally, and we feed people across the world. That's what we try to do. Or there's the excuse, pastors hear this a lot, all you ever talk about is money. This in a nation where, anybody know how much we spent nationally this past year for Halloween? Ready for this? $7.4 billion with a B, dollars. $7.4 billion just in the U.S. on Halloween. This at a time when ministries we partner with are running on empty, where Sussex Outreach Service just opened a line of credit. Prophets speak to us about our priorities and our values. Do we put our money where our mouth is? Or do we just fill our mouths with what we want for ourselves and forget about everybody else? Now, this is not to say that if we spend money on a Halloween party that we're bad or awful. They're fun. Some people like dressing up. This is as dressed up as I get here. I'll go as a pastor. Yeah, Ruth went to a company party as an accountant. Well, the point is that if we can afford to spend money on a Halloween party, then we can also afford to feed people who are hungry and care for the poor and minister to the homeless. What the prophets do comes to mind to me in this image. Some of you may know Hans Christian Andersen's story of the little match girl. Maybe I feel like kind of like Karen Yost talking about literature. 18th century story. Impoverished Europe. This little girl, she's about 8 years old, 10 years old. She's been sent out with a bundle of matches to sell so she can bring home a few pennies so maybe her family would eat that night, and it's a cold winter night, and she sold none of them. And she huddles barefoot in this alcove of a very nice house, and she looks in the window, and she sees this table spread with china. The china on the table alone is worth more than her family's worth altogether. And there's food in there like she's never seen. And she's outside, and she's shivering, and she starts lighting a match with a little bit of warmth. And she lights a match with some more warmth. And in the morning, she was found frozen to death with 24 burnt matches at her feet. Now, the people in the house did not mean for her to die. They didn't know. Here's what the voice of the prophets would tell us. Open your curtains. Open the door. Seek out those who are suffering and hurt and lost. Don't turn a blind eye to them. Listen for their voice. If we're going to hear the voice of the prophets today, we need to be open, to be challenged in the beliefs that we already hold, particularly in those areas where we're convinced we're already right. The prophets still speak to us. The challenge is to listen. But we get to listen without fear, because God does not set out to punish us. God wants to restore us and welcome us home, to bring us into His love, His peace, and His grace. The thing that gets in the way is the way in which we like to confuse ourselves for God. The prophets push us. They push us to open our minds, to see past ourselves, to love God by loving others. The reason we have our second reading in James today is this gives us a good idea what the prophets are about. The very last verse. Religion that is pure and undefiled before God the Father is this: to care for orphans and widows in their distress, and to keep oneself unstained by the world.